Okay, the conversation continues at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell, having a wonderful conversation with our very own Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment as we continue to break down the 2014 NFL Draft, a draft that certainly anticipated that I think many of these quarterbacks would go, they would perhaps be the top 10, top 15 picks, but just one name was called in terms of Blake Bortles, Johnny Manziel, number 22. We were just highlighting him. What other quarterbacks, Jason, kind of surprised you in terms of where they landed on their feet?
Yeah, you know, obviously what we were led to believe was that, you know, maybe four, maybe five of these guys would go potentially in the first round, and it just goes to show you that the information that these journalists are fed leading up to the draft by the GMs and the player personnel people, it's all BS, and it has been BS for a long time. I mean, I remember when I was in the draft, and you know, it's like if he's there, we're taking him. If you're there with, you know, the sixth pick, we're taking you. If you're there with the eighth, we're taking you. And basically, you know, those guys, they just they're gonna feed, you know, whatever. They got nothing to lose by saying that. Ultimately, they're gonna make their pick, and you know, the only person that I guess is kind of hurt and everything in all of it is the player, because they sometimes have such high hopes for where they're going to go. But, yeah, I mean, it turned out to be the second round. Well, I mean, you had Bridgewater going at the end of the first in Minnesota. You had the Carr kid who went in the second round. You had the Garoppolo kid from Eastern Illinois who went in the second round, mm-hmm. New England. So, you know, usually you see quarterbacks being overvalued, and teams are sometimes panicking and thinking, you know, we always got to get our guy, and we don't want to let this guy, we don't want this to be the next Tom Brady or you know, the next Aaron Rodgers or something like that. And, you know, but what you're also seeing is that teams in the NFL, they've found their guy, and they're reluctant to get rid of him or you know, let them test the free agent market. You know, really, age is the only thing. If a guy is playing well in the NFL, teams are going to stick with him and they're going to ride him. And especially if you find yourself a great one, they just don't let these guys go anymore. So I think they used to look at it as, you know, maybe we can get, if we have a stud guy, you know, maybe we can get good 4 or 5 years out of him, and maybe even less. But, you know, the next guy, as soon as, you know, starter number one is there and he's starting, they've already drafted, you know, the next guy who they're planning on taking over. And you always have to prepare yourself for an injury or you know, something else that goes wrong where you need another quarterback. But I think, I don't know, and maybe it's just this year, but I don't know, maybe the overvaluing guys is the thing of the past, and they realize that, you know, we can add much more value and depth to our own team by drafting, you know, an offensive tackle than a quarterback that maybe we necessarily don't need.
You know, Jason, you were drafted in the first round in 1998 by the Carolina Panthers, and I know we've discussed this many times on our show, but talk to our listeners tonight about the difficulty of transitioning from college to the NFL, and in your estimation, Jason, what position do you think is the toughest to make that transfer to?
Well, you know, it's tough to say. I mean, the transition is difficult, but I think probably on the line or maybe in the secondary. You know, there's when you're in college and you're playing corner, you know, maybe you go up against one, two, maybe three guys that could play on Sundays. You know, but the guys that are getting drafted usually are you know, on the winning side of those battles in college. But when you get to the next level, and you go from dealing with a guy, you know, who's a wide receiver that's going to be selling, you know, insurance the year after to going and trying to cover, you know, Chad Johnson, you know, that's a big difference. And I think just the speed, and you don't get any weeks off. You know, there's always going to be, you know, you're covering Chad Johnson one week and then Andre Johnson the next. And, you know, it never stops. But, you know, I know for me the biggest difference off the field, obviously you walk into a locker room, and especially for guys that are drafted high, you're ultimately going to be one of the highest paid players, you know, top 10, top 15 on your team. Now, obviously the salary cap and everything else has changed, and the rookie salary cap. So it's a tad different, but, you know, you're still going to make more than probably half of the guys on the team. So there are some guys that, they get jealous, and they kind of have animosity towards you. You know, and then also realizing that you walk into an NFL locker room, a good part of those guys are their family guys, so to speak. You know, they go home, and they're going home to the wife and kids. And, you know, it's not necessarily the college atmosphere. Mm-hmm. It's a business. And the quicker you learn that, I think the better chance you have at success. But, you know, once on the field, the speed is just the difference. At least for me, it was, you know, in college you had a chance to, as a defensive lineman, you could kind of play the block and you kind of peek your eyes over, you know, the offensive lineman's shoulders, and you could see the play kind of develop a little bit. In the NFL, you just have to react to what that guy, that offensive lineman, is doing to you, and just know that the offense is going to run the play correctly. They're going to execute it correctly. So this blocking scheme that this offensive lineman has given me, if I play it right, he's going to send me right to the ball carrier. And it's the same in college, but obviously you just don't get that extra, you know, tenth of a second to take that little sneak peek.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jason, of course, you were drafted in the first round, but most teams, you know, that you hear them talking about going after the recognizable, those sexy names in the first round, but are teams primarily built on the third and fourth rounds in the NFL draft?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's where you're going to get your guys that are going to run down on special teams. Some will turn into starters, and others will be guys that play in the league for 8-9 years. And you know, lots of times those guys end up playing longer because, you know, they're sometimes not thrown into the fire right away. You know, they can kind of, the expectations aren't there for them necessarily. You know, they can sit behind a starter for a few years, really learn the defense or the offense, and then ultimately when they get their shot, they can go out and have success. But sometimes, you know, the first rounders are kind of thrown right into the fire, and you better be ready to go.
Hey, we've been breaking it down with Husker great Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. Of course, you can check out his work online at jasonpeter.com. Always a pleasure, Jay. And we will talk to you next week, and we'll get into this even some more, okay?
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Much more straight ahead at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Connect with us at Twitter at E Radio Sports. We will be right back.